'cause everything I buy these days has got a foreign name. From the kind of car I drive to my video game,
I got a Nikon camera, a Sony color TV.
But the one that I love is from the USA, standing next to me.
When it comes to the loving part, one thing is true.
My baby's genuine USA, red, white, and blue.
My baby is American made, born and bred in the USA. From her silky long hair to her sexy long blade, my baby is American. My baby is American made. My baby is American made. Born and bred in the USA. From her silky long hair to her sexy long leg. My baby is American made. My baby is American made. Born and bred in the USA. From her silky long hair to her sexy long leg. My baby.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
God bless Texas.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. And welcome to the Shooting Bench. Hope you all had a good weekend. It's the 12th of June. And, boy, we've got a lot of stuff saved up here. Hope everybody... Oh, we got a couple of bad news deals. Let me check and see who's all in the chat room. Who is this going to affect the most? Let's see. Mountain Shooter will remember. Rolex, probably not. Many will. Radio Doc won't. Pumpkin Cat will. Northwest Heavy might. Anyway, be that as it may, for those of you that have been with us for quite a while, back during, even back as far as the Watchmen, and certainly for most of the Just Measures reign here, you might remember T-Dog. Well, T-Dog passed away on the 9th, a couple of days ago. He had a bout with cancer, and it got the best of him. He fought it as long as he could. And so now he's crossed through the veil and is headed for a better place, and is in a better place. But matter of fact, he died the same day that Adam West died. Adam West was the guy that played Batman back in the old days. That was a pretty goofy show, really. It seemed good at the time, but it was kind of corny by today's standards. But anyway, T-Dog is gone. And I just found out today, and most of you that are at least on the chat right now, I don't know about others that are listening in other ways, but most of you on the chat have never met this young man. He was very mature, very respectful, just a great kid. And that was Ethan Black. If that name doesn't sound familiar, think about Bobby Black. Ethan was Bobby's son. And he passed away. He was, I think he was 18 years old. And he died a couple of months ago. I just found out about it today. But I think it was the end of March. So, yeah, a couple of months ago. And evidently it was a very, very strange deal that got him. He seemed like just the typical teenager who was getting over a cold, and it turned out that it was some kind of bacterial infection in his lungs, and this all took place between, if I remember right, from... I think it was either 2:30 in the afternoon until 6:30 in the evening, or 6:30 in the evening until 2:30 in the morning. I don't remember. Anyway, it was just a few hours. And he literally died in Bobby's arms on the kitchen floor from this infection. It was very quick, very sudden. And so our prayers and thoughts are definitely out to T-Dog's wife, his family, and to the family of Ethan Black, Bobby Black's son. You remember, those of you who may not remember Bobby Black, Bobby Black was the one who run the station when it was Just Measures. Most of you remember Bobby, but some of you new guys might not. Anyway, I'm ashamed now that I haven't kept better contact with Bobby. You know, I call him every once in a while, but it's ever, you know, 3 or 4 months. It's not often enough. So anyway, that's that. Okay, let's go. Oh, by the way, this show that we've been trying to do, Doc and I, for the last month, 6 weeks, we intend to try once again to make that a reality a week from this coming Wednesday. So that would be, let me look at the calendario here. That would be, this coming is the 14th, so the 21st of June, we intend to do this show on various 9mm obsolete cartridges and weapons, particularly the Astra, I think it was the 400 and 600. So we're going to look at the 9mm Largo and some of the things that are related to it and what the difference in some of the other 9mm. And should be a very interesting show for those of you that are think along those lines, you know, for those of you that are interested in guns and whatnot. Speaking of guns and whatnot, by the way, Amy's not going to be here tonight. Amy had some dental work done today, and she is most assuredly not in any mood to sit here. And as a matter of fact, she's been asleep almost all day, and since, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock this morning. So we're not gonna bother Amy to try to get in here and tell everybody hi tonight. We're gonna give her a pass, and we'll catch her next week. So, back to guns and stuff. I don't know, some of you may have seen this on Facebook if you keep up with my page or some of these other gun-related things. There's a guy out there, possibly the only one in history, that has been, he's a firearms instructor, and he's been stripped of all of his credentials. The NRA took all their stuff back and said, no, you are not any longer an NRA instructor. North Carolina took away his state approval for concealed carry classes, and that's pretty bad. You can't teach concealed carry. They say this guy is the worst firearms instructor, the world's worst. How do you achieve the title of the world's worst firearms instructor? Well, I'll tell you. Tell you how you do that. You'll probably never get any worse than this guy, but you might could tie with him. And that is to be taking real guns and pointing them at students, and students pointing them back at you, and you videotaping it and put it on your website and on Facebook and tell everybody what a high-speed, low-drag ninja instructor you are. Well, it didn't take long of this. Didn't take too many times of this before the NRA said, nope, so sorry, we will not be associated with our name, with our organization. You're officially right now, you are dead to us. This guy is arrogant. He's exceedingly unknowledgeable. And you can tell that from what he's learned, he's either, I think, and I don't mean this to sound the way it's going to sound. I'm saying it because I mean it. I really believe in this instance that he learned everything that he knows through watching videos or maybe watching other instructors somewhere or something. I cannot believe that he's ever actually taken a class and continue to do the things that he does. Now, the other possibility is he claims that he's the only one that does this kind of thing, that it's a work in progress, and that he's got this new style. Well, it ain't working. His new style is not working. It may be a work in progress, but the guy is just an absolute nut. And there's several videos out there. And now, if you ask some of his students, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. They don't understand why everybody is bad-mouthing this guy. Why? Because they've never been anywhere else. He is assertive and aggressive with his talking, with his speech. And he acts very confident, like he knows what he's doing. And people just think that he does, and he don't. So after this story came out about the world's worst instructor being stripped of all his credentials, by the way, his name's, depending on which website you look at and who you ask, I'm not sure which one's his real name. Lucien, L-U-C-I-E-N, Black, a.k.a. Theraville Black, T-H-E-R-I-V-I-L, Black, a.k.a. Michael Thurville, T-H-E-R-V-I-L. And Michael Thurville appears to be his real name, but we're not sure. Based out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, he has been made famous, or infamous probably is a better word, by violating every rule, every possible rule, written and unwritten, about gun safety, and insisting that his way is better than the stuff that the recognized experts in the industry, better than Colonel Cooper, Anyway, he's better than all these guys, better than Gabe Suarez, better than Ignatius Piazza, better than everybody. So he's put up quite a defense on his, go look at his Facebook page, and I'm not sure if he has a Facebook page anymore. He may have taken it down, but there's still videos on YouTube. Look up Voda Consulting, V-O-D-A Consulting, and watch some of his videos. They're scary to even watch. You just know that any minute somebody's going to die. And I found out today that during a class one time, he shot a round through the ceiling. Okay, now look, guys, if you go to take a class from someone who claims to be an instructor, and he's waving real guns around all over the place and pounds around through the ceiling, you may not get your money back, but you probably ought to see if you can get out of there with your life. Just run, Forrest. So, some of you might remember, or not remember, you may have heard of Jim Fuller. Jim Fuller used to be, well, he still is. He's probably one of the best AK instructors and AK mechanics in the country, maybe in the world. He used to work for Gabe Suarez, and he taught Clint Smith. Yeah, thank you, Mountain Shooter. Jeez, I don't know why I couldn't think of that. He used to teach, AK armor classes and stuff like that for Gabe Suarez. And they had a parting of ways here a while back, long story. But Jim Fuller got a hold of this story of this guy that was supposed to be the best instructor in the whole world and wound up being the worst, most dangerous in the whole world. And so a bunch of the guys got together and challenged him to a force-on-force match. Well, at first he said, oh, yeah, okay, right, I will, you bet I'll come do that. You pay my air. Now, he's thinking that when he says this that they'll back off. He says, you get me a plane ticket and a motel and place to stay and a way to get around when I get there, and I'll be there. Well, all of his demands were met, and he said, well, you're a racist. I'm not sure what brought that up, but he has been hammered hard. I've never seen anyone catch so much hell from the gun industry and people in the gun industry in my life. Of all the people that have made, some people made some pretty stupid mistakes. There's been, people that have, have done virtually everything, but I've never heard of anyone catching the kind of grief that this guy has. It has been incessant for the last, 10 days or something like that, maybe 2 weeks that this came out. I don't think it was that long. Week or 10 days, something like that. And everybody in the country, from every, bearing arms, the NRA, all of the respectable and semi-respectable instructors out there. Everybody that knows anything about guns has been just hammering this guy over and over and over. And, yeah, the first thing he says is that Jim Fuller is a racist. So, anyway, beware. If you're going to North Carolina to take a concealed carry class, this guy's probably not going to be available. And that's just as well. All right, let me find one more deal here real quick, and then I need to run check on Amy right quick. See how she's doing. Okay, here's a couple of things. You know, I'm gonna mention these right after the break because we're gonna spend a little bit of time on this. You remember Roger Moore, right? The guy that played James Bond? Roger Moore. This has been a few weeks ago that he said this. He passed away back in May 21st, 22nd, somewhere in there. But one of the things that he said, it's not, am I sorry that he passed away? I don't like to see anybody die. Well, that's not true. I can think of some people I wouldn't mind seeing die. But, it's not usually anything to be happy about, but I didn't care anything about the guy. You know, I thought his movies were pretty good at one time, but he got to a point where he was so rabidly, vocally anti-gun that I could not stand him. And he said more than once, he said, "I've always hated guns," which I thought was pretty hypocritical, like so many other movie stars out there that have made millions and millions and millions, untold millions of dollars playing with guns, shooting people for make-believe and whatnot. He said, "Of course, I don't regret the Bond days. I regret, sadly, heroes in general are depicted with guns in their hands. And to tell the truth, I've always hated guns and what they represent." So there you have it. And he says, as a kid once, a gun blew up in his hands, which deafened him for a few days. And a teenage friend also shot him in the leg with a BB gun. So he hates guns because a friend shot him in the leg with a BB gun. I would hate my friend, not the BB gun. And he says that he claimed to have clenched his eyes when firing fake guns on the set. Said he chose to play Bond as more of a lover than a fighter due to his aversion to violence. So very much like, and then he said again right at the end, he said, "I don't like guns." He said, "I played every role tongue in cheek because I don't really believe in that sort of hero." So that is absolutely the epitome of a hypocrite. It's as bad as it gets, if you ask me. All right, well, we're gonna come back here, and I got a couple other things I want to spend a little bit of time with, but I think I better go check on Amy right quick. So if you guys will stay with me, I'll be back in a few minutes.
I'll be back.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism, smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Mississippi cotton picking Delta town, on Dusty Street, you walk up and down. Nothing much to see but a starving cow. The Mississippi cotton picking Delta town. Down in the Delta where I was born, all we raised was cotton, potatoes and corn. Now I pick cotton till my fingers hurt, dragging the sack through that belt of dirt. Said I've worked hard
took a week long. Picking my fingers to the blood and bone. There ain't a lot of money in a cotton bale, at least when you try to sell. In a Mississippi cotton picking delta town, one dusty street to walk up and down. Nothing much to see but a starving hound. In a Mississippi cotton picking delta town. On Saturday night, we'd get dressed up, catch us a ride on a pickup truck. On a gravel road, it nearly strangled us, that cotton picking delta dove. We sit across the street on the depot porch, looking at the folks looking back at us, munching on a dust-covered ice cream cone, wondering how we'd get back home. From a Mississippi cotton picking delta town, one dusty street to walk up and down. Much to see but a starving hound. A Mississippi cotton picking delta town. From a Mississippi cotton picking delta town. On dusty street to walk up and down. Nothing much to do but just hang around. A Mississippi cotton picking delta town.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta give me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay. Find a way. Ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms and defend it himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot button political issue.
Can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associated them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me, I'm free.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
That ain't country. Yeah, we
country. All right, we're back. Amy's up and around and doing a little better. And Minnie, thank you for asking how she's doing. And so she's not... Not 100%. She's not, any, as far as I'm concerned, any dental work whatsoever is too much. Not a fan. Anyway, okay, let's talk about a couple of things here. I wanted to save these. Hold on, we got the breaking news. Let me check and see what this is here. It looks like they had an anti-Sharia march in London or somewhere in, yeah, I guess it was London. Over 6,000 supporters showed up to that one rally. London police put violent Antifa in the same courtyard at the rally. Oh, that was a perfect idea. Huh. You know, you heard what the mayor of London said. He said, oh, that's a... just get used to it. It's just the price you pay for living in a big city. Yeah, well, we'll see how that works for you. All right, let me find my other crystal ball cooled all off here. So, all right, we're getting closer. What did I do with it? I just had them up here. Okay, there's that one, and there's that one, and there's that one, and there's that one. Here we go. Remember about, what was it, four or five years ago, it seems like. There was a guy in Phoenix. Dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. This guy was dressed in a sheet, had, you know, white sheet stuff wrapped around his head to resemble a turban. And he's out in traffic, out in a fairly busy intersection with a fake bazooka. Big, long, it was just like a World War II bazooka, not like the law rocket launchers that we have nowadays, or well, we don't even have those anymore, but it was a model of a bazooka. Let me turn this volume down a little bit. I didn't know it was so loud. All right, now testing 1, 2. Now tell me if this sounds a little better. I didn't know, I was probably over modulating like crazy there, so tell me if that's a little better right now. And the thing about it, it wasn't funny. If the wrong person, well, maybe the right person, I don't know. But if somebody like me, like some of you, had been at that intersection, I'm afraid I'd have shot him dead. That would have been a very, very bad thing, because, you know, I don't care how innocent somebody is, or how evil they look. If it's somebody completely innocent, then, you know, you can't say, well, he deserved what he got, you know. Yeah, you can say that, but most people don't believe that. But he was just acting like your typical raghead terrorist out there with a rocket launcher, you know, on his shoulder. Well, I bring that up because here just a couple of weeks ago, there was a guy on Highway 101 in California, near Aromas, California, dressed up like a clown and holding a machete over his head. Now, a lot of people are scared of clowns anyway. They freak them out. And this guy, full on, you know, white and red face, makeup, and clown suit, and the whole nine yards there. And he stood on the shoulder of Highway 101. And a lot of people called 911, said there was a creepy clown staring at drivers going by. So he stuck his thumb out with one hand as if he was trying to hitchhike, and then held the machete covered in fake blood with his other hand. Now, I don't know, and I probably should, but I don't know if I would have just driven by and forgot, said, boy, that guy's a weirdo, and just kept going. Or if I would have stopped and, you know, with the fake blood and everything, is there a dead kid right behind him in the weeds there on the side of the road or what? This guy was 61 years old. Wouldn't you think that the average person would probably, at 61 years old, would probably know a little better than to be standing on the side of the road with a machete covered in fake blood. I mean, just the fact that he's dressed in a clown suit was bad enough. But deputies pulled, the guy was 6'2" and 230 pounds. And this middle of the afternoon, if it would have been night, it would have been even worse. And, of course, deputies had their guns drawn and handcuffed him and questioned him and determined that he hadn't committed a crime. The machete was real, but the blood was fake. And he said he didn't actually threaten anybody, so they let him go home. The vehicle was parked nearby, and he just drove away. And technically, I guess, you know, he hadn't, there's a lot of places where a lot of times people are getting sued and getting arrested because they make someone else feel uncomfortable. I would guess by the flurry of 911 calls that happened here that someone was feeling uncomfortable. No, there wasn't a direct threat. No, I'd not necessarily think the guy ought to go to jail. But, again, that's one of those things where he could have very easily, somebody stopped the thing about people, a lot of people that carry guns nowadays, they don't, a lot of them don't think. We've talked about many, many stories on this show where people have acted before they thought. And this could very easily be one of those times where someone could see the clown and just jump out and shoot him and feel like they're justified because of the blood on the machete and everything. So hopefully if someone did check, it would be somebody that was trained well and responsible and mature. And got out, maybe with gun drawn, and said, "Hey, dude, what's up? What are you doing here?" If the guy comes running towards you screaming with a machete over his head, then all bets are off. I don't care how crazy. I don't care what went on then. But if he says, whoa, dude, wait, it was a joke. Oh, really? Well, let's see what the police said. Would I have called the cops? Probably so. Unless he could convince me in some manner that it was all in a day's work and a day's, you know, having fun and left after that, you know, I don't know. It's that would be kind of a tough call. But there's another one here. And by the way, I'm thinking I may only do an hour tonight. And might help Amy out here a little bit, but we'll see what happens after the hour. And here is a similar story. This was a guy that was did a pretty good job of making himself look like the Joker out of Batman. 29 years old. This was in Florida. And he was arrested after many calls to 911 about someone pointing a gun at vehicles going by. People, the cops that responded to this didn't find it terribly difficult to find the guy, considering he had green hair and dark black eyes and red scar-looking stitches things and crosses tattooed on his face, and not tattooed, but probably a magic marker or something. Anyway, The difference with this one, he was found with a loaded Smith & Wesson handgun in his pocket. And according to other reports there, he told the police that he had the gun in his pocket. He told police he had the gun in his pocket. When he asked for a copy of his concealed weapons permit, he said, "I don't have a permit because it's expensive." Well, alrighty then. His occupation was listed as tattoo model. He was arrested for simply carrying a firearm without a permit, and he's being held right now on a $5,000 bond. Mountain shooter, no. And Amy's going to get on me when she hears this because she's been trying to talk me into doing it again. And no, I don't have my FFL back yet. And I keep threatening to do it, and I keep coming up with bigger and better things to spend money on than that, so I can have the feds be in the feds' pocket again for, you know, for however many years. So I keep toying with the idea back and forth, but no, to answer your question, currently I do not have my FFL back. So anyway, let's move on down the line here. Hold on, Amy's coming with breaking news here. What is it? Family cited for biking funeral on local lake. Oh, wow. A local family from Cascade Shores Housing Development in hot water for attempting to cremate a deceased relative. There was a real person on there.
Yeah.
Attempting to cremate a deceased relative on Scott's Flat Lake earlier today, the Barstad family recently suffered the loss of the family's patriarch, Norman Barstad. You know, all the letters are there to make that something else. Who had lived with the family at their Spanish Land home. The senior Barstad, who was 92 years old when he passed last week, requested that he receive a full Viking burial on the water. The family agreed to his last wish. Unfortunately, neither the Nevada County Health Department nor the sheriff, who answered numerous 911 calls, seemed to think that was a good idea. Generally, the burning of bodies in an open and public water space is frowned on. And although there's no specific laws preventing a traditional Viking funeral on Scott's Flat, you can't just set it on fire and send it off into the lake, especially things as explosive as this. According to the witnesses at the lake, the Barstad family gathered on the shore of the Nevada Irrigation District-owned lake. A large Dodge truck was towing what appeared to be a homemade pontoon boat. There's some debate about the makeup of the boat, but said... Some said that it looked like a pile of logs. Others said it looked like a repurposed pontoon boat covered in kindling. What is not in question is what happened after it arrived at the lake and detonated. Said, I saw these guys lower this homemade pile of sticks down on the boat ramp. Didn't think much of it. Well, you know, this is Nevada County. I figured it was a back-to-nature type of thing. But when no one got on the boat, and then about 200 yards out, it exploded into flames, and I was like, holy redacted. I called 911, and there's debris everywhere. I think I got hit with a detached finger. Oh, man. Anyway, there's a little more to the story, man. It just talks about him. Oh, it said, instead of engulfing the senior Barstad in gentle and majestic Viking flames, the homemade barge violently exploded, sending bits of the senior Barstad flying over Cascade Shores. Some of the remains of Mr. Barstad immediately disintegrated from the intense explosion. Some body parts landed around the development. I heard this explosion in the distance. Didn't think much of it at first. I was wearing... We're always hearing crap like that up here, you know, shotguns and whatnot. It wasn't until I heard a thump on my metal roof. I went outside, and right as I looked up, part of a leg slid down and whacked me in the head. It was pretty horrible. What is the source of this? Nevada County Scooper. I'll be darned.
Crazy.
All right, what was I? Sorry about that. Oh, here, this was, this is one of those make you furious type things here. Let me check and see what we got left in the chat room there, real quick. Are we having sound problems here? It looks like everything's still working. So if we're having sound problems, I don't think it's on my end. If you guys can, let's see a show of hands if you can still hear me out there. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a little sip of my drinky here. This was a burrito shop in Portland, Oregon, forced to close after accusations of cultural appropriation and stealing recipes. A burrito shop. Just 1 week after Cook's Burritos in Portland, Oregon was featured in a profile for local publication, the pop-up Mexican food cart was closed down amid accusations that they ripped off their recipes. The two white women who started Cook's earlier this year have been accused of stealing their techniques from the tortilla ladies of Puerto Nuevo, Mexico. Because Connolly told William that week that they gathered their recipes and tortilla making processes during a holiday road trip to the Baja California village. Northwest Heavy, this is up in your neck of the woods. There must be quite a heck of a delay here tonight. He said, I picked the brains of every tortilla lady there was in the worst broken Spanish ever, and they showed me a little of what they did. They told us, but anyway, that's not the point. What the point of the whole story is here is they were forced to close the thing down because they were accused of stealing these recipes and plagiarism in a way. It's been open for several months. The owners were only recently accused of cultural appropriation by the Portland Mercury and Mike.com based on Connolly's revelations. So, you know, the weirdest thing that I heard today, and this was a real true story. I don't know if I saved it or not, but, I can relate it pretty much word for word what happened here. Let me see if I managed to keep that. Let's see, American Rifleman, Border Patrol. Well, I don't see it here. Anyhow, this is a true story. I watched the video. This was a couple of black guys out having a barbecue in their neighborhood on their land. And there's one person in this neighborhood that hasn't lived there too long that complained about the smell of the barbecue coming onto their property. Now, this wasn't like burnt muskrat or something. I mean, it was just regular barbecue. So they do it all the time. They've been doing it for years. And this guy comes up carrying a clipboard and everything, works for the city. They said they asked the cops, they asked the fire department, and they said, yeah, it's no problem. Everybody does it every weekend. Not a problem. Don't worry about it. And this guy comes up with this city ordinance about, I forgot how they worded it, something about disagreeable smells or something coming on to your property from someone else's property. And they're saying, he said, yeah, you can barbecue. That's okay. It's not that. You just have to keep the smell on your property. I was floored. True story. Sure, you can barbecue. You just can't let the smell go over the fence. Now, the thing about this is that unless there is a law and unless there is a cop that comes and enforces this law and everything, then there's no law. City ordinances are not a law. They're not something that some city employee can come and enforce and tell you. They can come tell you, okay, thanks. Appreciate you telling me. You want a couple of ribs? Want a hot dog while you're here? I could not even believe that that was a real and true thing, but it was a real and true thing. My goodness, I don't know what's going on in this country. All right, let's me back up, go all the way back down here and find my stories here again. Oh, here's one. And this is very similar to the not let your barbecue smell get off your property. Surely some of you guys have seen this, but this is this particular one is in Birmingham, Alabama. Teenagers, well, the thing comes out of Birmingham, but the town's in Gardendale. It's a suburb, I guess, of Birmingham. And teenagers there that are mowing grass to make a little extra money for the summer, according to city ordinance. Now, here we are with this city ordinance thing again. According to the city ordinance, these kids have to have a business license to mow grass, help people out in the summer. Teenagers have been threatened by officials and other lawn services to show their city-issued license before cutting a person's lawn for extra cash this summer. Cutting grass is often one of the first jobs many have in the summer, but a business license in Gardendale costs $110. And for a job that lasts just a couple of months, that's a little on the steep side. Says that this guy's granddaughter cuts grass all over the neighborhood. She charges one lady $20, another one $30, another girl $40, besides what we pay her. And for her, this was the perfect summer gig, they said. Just helping out and raising money for admissions and trips. Now it's becoming a hassle. Now it's $110. One of the men that cuts several yards made a remark to other neighbors that if he saw her cutting grass again, that he was going to call Gardendale because she didn't have a business license. So we have a grown-up with a lawn cutting business or landscaping business or whatever. And if they see a kid mowing a lawn, they're going to tell because they don't have a business license. Because I could have mowed that lawn. They're not like there's not other lawns around there. Said, when operating a business for pay within the city limits, you must have a business license. He said, sending someone after a child making extra money in the summer is not a priority. But he is committed to finding a way to make this less of a hassle for teens. Let me tell you how you make it less of a hassle. Don't worry about it. Stop. Forget it. Don't say, yeah, mind your own business. Go find something. Go find bad guys to catch or something. Go find somebody that's let barbecue smell get over their fence. How rude is that? He said, I'd love to have something on our books that was a little more favorable response to that student out there cutting grass and see if there's maybe a temporary license during the summer months that targets teenagers. How about we just don't worry about it at all? No temporary license, no $110 license, no nothing. Let's just don't. Let's just pretend like we don't see them and let them be kids and let them do their thing. Good grief. All right. Well, in view of the day that I had today and the day that Amy had today and just the day that today has been, I think that I'm going to cut this short. And a week from this coming Wednesday is going to be our show for Doc and I about the obsolete guns, the obsolete 9mm, obsolete pistols go with them. And that'll take at least half of the show. We've got some other things, got several other gun-related things that I think people will enjoy. We'll get on with that, too. I'm going to do my best not to let this take up the whole show, but it'll be at least half of it. and then we'll move on from there to other things. So I'm glad you all got to join me. Amy's doing fine. She's up and about and not real talkative right now because of her little wasn't surgery that she had today, but it was a little bit intrusive, invasive. So it was nobody likes to be yanked around and teeth yanked on and ground on, cut out, yanked with pliers and pounded with hammers and all the stuff that they do. So she's not real chipper right now. Anyway. Okay. With all that being said, I think I'm going to scoot on out of here and we'll see you Wednesday night with more gun stuff. All right. We'll see you then. Thanks.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.